A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everybody, and welcome to Redmen TV. This is your fan cam after Liverpool beat Leicester at the King Power Stadium in what was a convincing away performance from the Reds. My name's Dan Clubb, and I'm joined by Steve O'Hare, Andy Bell, and Mick Moran to talk about that boss night. Steve, I mean, as away performances go, mate, they don't get much better than that one, do they, buddy?
It was pretty routine, wasn't it, to be honest, mate? I think people can say what they want about it being a difficult time to play Leicester because they're in a relegation dogfight and this, that and the other. But I think at some point, you've just got to be the better team. You've just got to get your bollocks out, put them on the table and be like, listen, I'm better than you. You just got to pull out and be like, listen, we're better. We're going to prove we're better. And we did that effectively over the 90 minutes.
Yeah, we did, mate. It was an interesting one because Leicester came out with quite a lot of energy. They started the game well, as you'd expect from a team sort of battling relegation, like you say, at home, nothing to lose. We've got to go for it from the word go. But Mick, Liverpool rode that little storm and we almost expect them to come out like that, didn't we? And it's like we dealt with that and then we grew into the game and we just took over from then, didn't we?
Yeah, I don't want to say it was like vintage Liverpool of like years gone by where we've like battered teams, but like it took us, like you said, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, yeah, figure them out, see what they're going to do, try and try and get their energy out of the legs early doors in terms of seeing what they're going to do. And then I think Liverpool just started knocking it around, popping it around, and as soon as we started doing that, you saw what Liverpool and the new system can do. Quality, Trent picking up those positions, it was just fantastic to watch. And I know, like we said, Leicester aren't a great team, but you still, the quality on show there was just like, yeah, some of the goals and some of the play was unbelievable.
Yeah, well, some of the footy was boss, and it was Trent again dictating matters as well. But Andy, I want to talk about Cody Gakpo again, because I thought he was superb. He picked up those positions and he actually should have won a couple more free kicks than he did. But it's the positions he takes up. It's like Firmino of old, isn't it? We've said it a million times, but defenders just don't know how to deal with him. They don't know whether to go and track him and mark him tight or stand off him and let him run at them. He's an absolute nightmare, isn't he?
Yeah, he's such an intelligent footballer. He's very Dutch in his style of play in the sense that he's always looking for that space. He just seems to have that sixth sense for a little bit of space in the attacking areas where there generally is no space at all because teams are so tight, and especially Leicester mostly playing with two defensive midfielders. Like, it's such a like tight part of the pitch to get some space in, and he did it time after time after time. I thought at times his passing was a little bit off in terms of the final ball, but he still has such an impact on that game. He picks up the ball for the second goal and, you know, you won't get the credit for it. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff about the offsides and stuff, and that'll take the limelight away. But actually dropping in there, holding the ball up and getting a pass away to one of the front three was so, so important. I've just been so, so impressed with him over the last couple of months. It took him about a month or so, maybe 6 weeks to fit in and find his position and find his form. But like ever since then, I think we've got our centre forward for the next 5-10 years potentially.
Yeah. No, 100%, mate. Like I say, he's so intelligent, and it is that sixth sense, because we've seen other strikers try it. Jota did it okay. Nunes, it never really clicked for him, I don't think, as the false nine, but Gakpo just walked in and gone, oh yeah, I can do that, no problem at all. We even seen him do midfield last week as well, which just shows you how intelligent a footballer he is, so ask him to go and do those sort of things. But like you said, Nick, we did start dictating the game, and I think I said it in here with you lads, we actually penned Leicester in, they couldn't get out. We would just win the ball back time and time again. And Fabinho was influential in that. I think we all commented how much better he was in his performance. Win the ball up high and allowing us to keep them basically in their own 18-yard box. And eventually the chance comes, and it comes for Curtis Jones, who we've all said, like, how many games he started consecutively. We haven't seen that a lot. But when Curtis Jones is confident and he's got this swagger about him, he's a top player, isn't he, Steve?
It's really nice to see, to be honest with you, considering how the amount of stick he's taken online, even when he's been in form, people are so reluctant to give him any form of credit and accept the fact that he's a different player than he has been, and the injuries have halted his progress and stuff like that. So now he's come back, it's really, really nice to see him finding his confidence, because you feel like he is a confidence-based player, and where he not only getting his place in the team's one thing, but believing he's earned that place in the team and believing that he is the best person to be in that position. It's really nice to see, and you could see that confidence in the way he was moving on the ball, the way he was asking for the ball constantly. He wasn't hiding, shying away. He's constantly asking for the ball, making movements and things like that, making things happen. It was really, really nice to see, and obviously long may it continue.
Yeah, absolutely. And he takes his goal really well again. Again, we overmarked straight after it. It was like reminiscent of the Spurs one a couple of weeks ago. But the build-up play to that goal too, obviously Salah's involved, gets the first of his three assists on the night. But I think you said it, Mick, at the time, like Jones, to finish that left foot, it was obviously his weaker side, the boss finish, isn't it?
It is, especially when it comes across. It's a great ball by Salah, but like to control it with your left foot coming in at speed, you've got a controller. I think I saw one from Nunes earlier in the season when he'd done something similar where he guides it back across the keeper.
West Ham.
But I think like we've just said, like he's oozing confidence, and I think that comes out in his performance. I think he's a rhythm player as well. I think the more he plays, what I want to see from him next year is like when we've got more players coming in. If he's out the team for a couple of games and he has to come in, I want to see like a Curtis Jones after nine games, not one game, because I think he starts to question himself. He takes too many touches on the ball maybe, but what you've seen tonight and like in the first goal, second goal, it's the confidence, and that comes out when, especially like you said before, like the touches on the ball, just like offering for the ball, getting on the ball, just making it nice and easy, but also making some good choices in the final third, which is what I think most people are giving most grief for. It's like the loads of touches around the box, maybe not passing it at the right time, chances go because you're not passing it at the right time. And I think that's kind of improved a lot. And I think, yeah, the consistency is a big improvement on his side.
That has improved that decision making, but that, like you say, probably comes from a run of starts, because when he is in and out the side a lot, he's not sure of himself, is he? He's second guessing his options all the time. But like you say, at the minute he's getting everything right. And Andy, I'll come to you on the second goal. I mean, it's a work of art. Like, it is a masterpiece. The footy is just boss. It's that is vintage Liverpool. The performance might not have been, but that goal really was. And it would have been a huge shame had it been disallowed, wouldn't it, for offside? And it looked tight for a long time, but what a goal.
Yeah, we were mentioning here that's the really horrible thing for me about VAR, is that it just took that enjoyment and celebration away from me for a second. And obviously there's two different offsides. It seems as though they're checking the first one, but the pass goes to Mo Salah, not Curtis Jones. Yeah. You know, which is ridiculous. That would, you know, for all the apologies the PGMOL have had to offer this season, that would have been the apology of all apologies if they'd I love the idea that they rolled on and then they realise, and oh no, yeah. Hard web definitely wouldn't have had that that shown at the end of the game. But no, lovely goal. I mentioned Gakpo's role in it earlier, and that was crucial. But you know, I think Mick actually picked up on it that Salah, well, albeit the third one's a little bit of a generous assist, but I think he assisted all three goals tonight. And as much as, you know, earlier in the season, this idea that we push him right out wide because his playmaking ability was so good, as much as that was a dreadful tactic and we had to sort of renege on that quite quickly, the idea and the thought and the rationale behind it is correct, that Mo Salah is an incredible playmaker. And I just think he's had to adapt his game so much as a Liverpool player. You know, first season he was kind of Ian Robin, cut inside and hit it every time, then had to improve his weak foot. Obviously, as he gets older, he's not going to be able to rely on his pace as much. So, you know, the outside of the boot passes with the left foot are just like so pinpoint at times. And he's gone from sort of at Basel and Chelsea and maybe even at Roma, this just quick winger who could get you sort of 10, 15 goals a season, to just an all-encompassing world-class footballer in every aspect. And that's before you even talk about the Curtis Jones finish, you know, it just sits up beautifully. And I think he mentioned that at the start of the season, everyone was laughing at him that he could get 10 goals this year. Listen, if he stays fit, you never know.
Maybe not this year. Maybe not. There'll be some finish this season if he does, mate. Let me tell you. No, but you are right. I mean, Salah's role in the goal again is just, he's just boss. Even when he's not scoring, and we'll come to his chance that he obviously misses. I think we all expect that. I think I was saying that's four. And obviously he fluffs his lines on that occasion. But yeah, Curtis Jones, to see him confident, to see him playing like that, it's just boss to see, because I was as guilty as anyone of thinking maybe it's not quite going to happen for him at Liverpool. But that was more down to injuries than anything else. It's got to be said. Second half, and by the way, make sure you do tune in to player rankings and indeed player ratings going on with Chris, because we will talk about every single Liverpool player on those shows. But second half, it felt a little bit like, I mean, Leicester, they didn't really have much left to give. That even though we've already said that they have to come out and they've got to try and win the game, it felt like they were beaten at that point for me. It felt like they knew we were better than them. We were going to flex our muscles and sort of run away with the game. And from our point of view, Mick, it felt as though we all wanted a Curtis Jones hat-trick. And it actually looked as though Liverpool, the players wanted that at times. Like, just trying to find him at the back post wasn't quite clicking. But as a performance goes, second half, we were fully in control, weren't we?
Yeah, I think to get the goals, I think so quickly as well. I think it was like 33, 36. So it's like two in quick succession just before half time. Good times to score. 2-0 up. I think, like, I always think that, like, the recent Liverpool's going to try and creep in again, like, before the good results recently. I'm always thinking, oh, if Liverpool concede, and I think there was a couple of chances where they're on the edge of the box. It's like if Maddison fires one top corner, you're like, oh shit, what's going to happen now? Yeah. But I just think, like, trying to see the game out in a way where we're not panicking. I think that's the thing, that's the difference. I think we're a bit confident that we can knock it round. I think, like, there's times where we just knock it round, Konate to Van Dijk, and then Trent picking up those positions and playing it into him. And it wasn't like I was ever worried that we were going to give it away. There was a couple of times we had a few scares and whatever, but yeah. I think we've kind of passed that period now where we're shitting ourselves every time we're two goals up. We're kind of like, we can get another goal. We just need to keep pushing. And I think that's kind of where the third goal comes from as well, where we kind of just keeping the ball and we're just tiring teams out, basically.
Yeah.
Just on the third goal, we finally get a free kick around the edge of the box as well. I mean, I'll come to you, Steve, on this one, to give Andy the second best goal of the night for me. I think this is the best one. I mean, it's a very generous assist, like I say, but what a strike. Like, he was absolutely exceptional all night, Trent again. Absolutely ran the show, unbelievable. As good as Curtis Jones was, he was actually man of the match on the telly, probably rightfully so. Two goals and a boss performance. But Trent Alexander-Arnold, mate, like, what a strike that is.
He's a man rejuvenated, isn't he? It's really, really nice to see. Again, another player who's thriving from the confidence of his new position, being trusted with so much of the ball, so much of the time. He's like number one for touches, progressive passes, all that sort of stuff. He's showing exactly what he can do and proving everyone who doubted them wrong. And I think he could have had a couple more, to be honest with you, in the positions where it's come to him. He could have had a few more shots, and we know he's always got that in his back locker, so it was really nice to see Salah touch it just to the side, just to open up the angle, as we were talking about before, just to give the keeper something different to think about. And we've seen it. He's done it before, hasn't he, against, was it Chelsea?
Similar to Chelsea. He likes playing at Leicester as well, by the way.
Yeah, he loves it, doesn't he? Yeah, so, yeah, it was just nice to see that the confidence coming out of him, just getting on the score sheet, because he's been banging in assists. He's been due a goal the way he's been playing. He's been overdue a goal, so it was really nice to see him get on the score sheet rather than just the assist sheet as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Two scouts on the score sheet as well at Leicester. Doesn't get much better than that, does it? Those not nice fans, let's put it that way. Boss goal, absolutely boss goal. Just finally, before I wrap up, Andy, I want to come to you on one final one. Like, we've just won 3-0 away at Leicester, that's obviously sound, but it feels like we do need to talk about Alisson again, because although he wasn't called into action in terms of saves, his sweeping tonight was absolutely out of this world, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's incredible in every aspect of the game. I think there was one mad one where Trent was under a bit of pressure and he, like, came right the way to the corner to sort of offer an option, and we actually nearly get out. And if the pass is a bit better from, I think it is, Trent out to Jones, I think, you know, we could be in for 4-0 there, and that's a risk that you take, and it's a risk you can take when you've got a goalkeeper as good, as I say, in every part of the game as Alisson. I love, you know, obviously everyone talks about, oh, he scored that header around this time a couple of years ago, but actually when he has to come out and head the ball, he is really good with his head. You know, it's not just, as some keepers do, just head it up in the air, give yourself the time, or head it out of play, give yourself the time to get back in your goal. It's a weighted header, you know, as if he's an outfield player trying to recycle the ball. Yeah, he's just amazing. I think he does make a big save early doors, doesn't he, from the one-on-one?
Yeah.
You know, that is important, and for me, he's the best.
He's the best
I've ever seen one-on-one. Not just in a Liverpool shirt, and any goalkeeper in the world ever, for me, he's the best I've ever seen one-on-one. He's phenomenal. And, you know, if you go 1-0 down there, then you are in trouble, and it is a different game, and you probably do see a different result tonight, but as you say, his role in the performance will be understated, but it's certainly not unimportant.
Yeah, and how many times have we said that about Alisson Becker as well? But his just brilliant season continues for me. Absolutely boss again tonight. Yeah, that'll be all for this episode of Fan Camp. Please join us for the player rankings a little bit later on. Thanks to the lads. But yeah, I'll speak to you again soon. Take it easy.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.